Compassion Plans, Episode 19, What is Your Generosity Philosophy? With Kim Trumbo of GenerosityPhilosophy.com.
The world we live in is far from perfect. How can I effectively make a difference? This is Compassion Plans, a weekly interview to help you make the world a better place with your host, Bentley Davis.
Welcome to Compassion Plans. I'm Bentley Davis. And I've been able to get one of these podcasts out every week for some time. But going forward, I'll be spending more time focusing on my personal compassion plan, which will take my focus away from this podcast. I'll still be releasing interviews as I find interesting people doing great things for the world. But in case you want more than I'm providing, I wanted to introduce you to Kim Trumbo of the Generosity Philosophy Podcast. Her podcast provides similar inspiration and stories of people making the world a better place. So I wanted to introduce you to her and give you all the information about how you can listen in. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bentley. Thanks so much for having me.
I like to start off talking about compassion, which is reducing someone else's pain. So, Kim, what pain do you reduce?
Well, unfortunately, as we all know, there's several different kinds of pain out there in the world. And with generosity philosophy, the idea behind it was to encourage other people, the folks listening and sometimes watching, because I'll cut videos and throw those on YouTube, to just encourage them to help reduce the pain of others, regardless of what it is. And I do try to interview a variety of nonprofits that aren't just catering to one type of demographic. And so whether it be helping animals or children or the elderly or people with developmental delays, there's a wide variety of pain out there. And I'm trying to encourage people to be compassionate and to be generous and give back and help those folks.
That's fabulous, Kim. And we appreciate you doing that. On your podcast, you ask a question, so I want to ask it of you. What is your generosity philosophy?
Congratulations. You're the first person who's asked me that. You know, I just answered that, but it was a bit in a laid back, silly way. I mean, not silly. People who know me in real life, as people say, know that I'm kind of just a big kid at heart. And I've always liked hip hop music and enjoy like writing poetry and rhyming. And every once in a while, you might catch me trying to freestyle rap. And in episode 57, I actually didn't have a guest. You know how that goes sometimes, like things don't work out. And I didn't want to not have a show. So I actually just said like, hey, this is Kim's generosity philosophy. It's short and sweet. And I wrote like a little poem. I won't rap it. I'll just read it. Life is meant to be lived, and we all feel more alive when we give. Give a little or give a lot. Generosity is contagious. Just give it a shot. You never know how your kindness affects another being. It's simple to be kind and generous in everything. And how you speak to your kids, your husband or wife, how you talk to yourself in your everyday life. No amount of giving can ever be too small. Let's all give a little more and stand up tall. Tall like a tree with roots firm in the ground. Generosity is the lifeline to spread love around.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I thought, you know, I'll write a little poem about my generosity philosophy and not knowing that someone was going to ask me it. But, you know, like you said, I ask everyone else that. And I thought, well, how would I answer that? And so I wanted to be creative and kind of come up with a poetic way. But yeah, I mean, no act is ever too small and we all have the ability to do it. It makes a person feel really great, the recipient and the person giving. Generosity and kindness can be a bit synonymous, and you know, anything that you do that is kind to someone in a sense is also being generous to them. So whether it's just, you know, writing a thank you card to someone or remembering it's their anniversary and sending them a message on Facebook, just all those little things really do add up, in my opinion, and make people feel really great.
So what inspired you to start the Generosity Philosophy Podcast?
Well, I was listening to a lot of podcasts. I heard Dave Ramsey on the old radio, in the car. And then I'd heard something about check out my podcast. I was like, well, what is a podcast? And at the time, I think I must have had an iPhone. And so I went to the App Store and downloaded the podcast app. And then I realized there was all kinds of podcasts about a variety of topics and things. And so I just started becoming a consumer and a listener of a variety of different shows. I always thought in the back of my mind, just because I've always been a bit of a talker, a little kid of five, and you know, I don't mind, you know, chit-chatting on a microphone or being kind of the life of the party, if you will. And so I knew that I wouldn't be shy to do a podcast. I just didn't know what I would talk about. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind, like, well, if I ever come up with something cool that people might actually listen to, that I provide, you know, value to them, then maybe I'll do a show one day. These things happen in the most random places, right? Where people say they have their aha moments. I was mowing my lawn one day. It was actually about a year ago. It was mid-October of 2013. I was mowing my lawn, listening to John Lee Dumas and Michael O'Neill, the Solopreneur Hour. They were talking about entrepreneurial endeavors and what have you, and saying that the people who are entrepreneurs often enjoy helping people, you know, because they've been there at different, I mean, we're all in different stages of our journeys. And if you're kind of in a middle stage of your business and there's somebody who's just beginning, you remember what it was like to be that beginner. And so it's great that the people are willing to help one another. And I just remember when I heard them say, help one another, that's when that light bulb went off. And I realized there are so many people in the world that help other people through like their nonprofits or their charities or a cause or campaign. And I don't think there's a podcast where I've heard anyone really highlighting them and talking about what they do and encouraging people to help out if they so choose to do so. And so I let go of the thing, the gas that makes the lawnmower go. And I went to the house and was all excited. And I was trying to come up with names and was frantically looking on GoDaddy as if like within that 5 minutes, whatever my brilliant idea for a show was going to get taken away. But I was trying all kinds of different things. And then it just kind of popped in my head, like generosity philosophy, that, you know me, I like to rhyme. And I've heard shows like School of Greatness and The Kick-Ass Life. And in those types of shows, they ask the question of, you know, what is your definition of greatness for School of Greatness? And then David Wood in the Kick-Ass Life asks, what is your definition of a kick-ass life? I thought, well, I can ask people, what's your philosophy on generosity? Because I'm be interviewing people who are generous. So it all just kind of like in a whirlwind within that, you know, hour's time developed. I couldn't wait to get started. So 2 weeks later, I launched my show.
So you only took 2 weeks to get it up and running?
Yeah, I would not recommend anyone do that. It's just how I'm wired. If I get an idea and I'm just like on fire about it, I just want to just go. And if I tell myself it's going to start in 2 weeks, then I could write out a checklist and just start figuring stuff out. And unfortunately, I had to do a lot of just figuring stuff out, in the sense of, I think the first thing on my checklist was find out which kind of microphone to record with. And then it was, how do you get the audio from your microphone into your computer? Like, I didn't know anything about the technical pieces of it. I just had to talk, and that I could get interviews with people, and that it was a long process of watching a lot of YouTube videos and asking a lot of questions in a mastermind group that I joined.
Did you join the mastermind pretty early in the process, or did you start out on your own?
I jumped off on my own. I joined one later, a couple, 2-3 months in, I joined one. But I for the most part, yeah, it's amazing and really encouraging for people who want to podcast, that you can learn it without having to pay a bunch of money. I mean, you really can. There's so much free stuff out there. It's just, I think if you are the type of person who doesn't have the patience to do a lot of trial and error, then what you're paying for when you join a podcasting mastermind group is, if you join a paid one, you're paying for the convenience of someone to really hold your hand and like walk you through it step by step. Otherwise, yeah, there's ways to learn it, but you then don't have someone to go to and say, hey, did you listen to that video? And what do you think of this and that?
And how did you go about finding your first couple guests?
I started with a couple of local nonprofits that I knew of, and I had a feeling, you know, they would say yes, which they did. Then I realized, I guess with anything, after a while of interviewing a couple of people that I knew and them, I guess, validating that, hey, this is really neat, Kim. I can't wait to see how it grows and who else you talk to. I realize, why am I scared to reach out to some of these other nonprofits just because I don't know them? And so I created an email template and started to just send emails thinking, you know, even if a third of them answer, that'll give me some shows. And so I think it's just probably the really big ones where the emails get lost in the whirlwind of emails. Most people will say, yeah, in a sense, I'm trying to help them and get them more volunteers and people helping out. And so not too many times have people said no. When I first started, I thought, there's going to be tons of people. And then after a while, I thought, well, I don't know if I'm just focusing on nonprofits. There's got to be a limit to how many there are. And then I realized the more I kind of dove into Twitter and Instagram and using hashtags, I thought, I'm never going to run out of content. This is awesome. Like, this is awesome in the sense that the whole thing is like, you don't want to run out of content because these are, you know, highlighting people who are doing wonderful things in the world. I certainly hope we don't run out of those kinds of folks. And so it's amazing. Every year, there's another kid. And when I say kid, I mean that. I don't know how many children you've interviewed, but, you know, I think he told me he's 13 or 14, but watched his video and been on his social media, and I interviewed him, and I can't remember how old he is. I just know he's under like 15. And I've interviewed another young lady from Tennessee. Her name's Olivia Wright. And when she was 9, her dad was watching Feed the Children, or it was on an infomercial or something one night. She was 9 years old and said, Daddy, why don't these kids have shoes? You know, one of those things. And he said, well, some kids in the world don't have shoes, honey. And Olivia wasn't going to have that. And so she decided to start her nonprofit. It's called HUGS, and the acronym is Help Us Give Shoes. And so kids in the United States, but also worldwide, she collects shoes for and sends them all over. Yeah, and she was 9 when she started that. So it's remarkable and amazing how even at a young age, there's a lot of philanthropic children and young adults out there. It's neat.
Has there been a time while you've been doing generosity philosophy that you've really seen the impact of what you've been doing?
That's a great question. I think just in the little things that people tell me is a validation for why I'm doing it. For example, I had a friend on Facebook. I've never met her in real life, but we were in that mastermind group that I was talking about. And she sent me a private message on Facebook just saying, hey, Kim, my birthday's coming up this weekend, and I've been listening to your podcast and wanted to let you know that it's inspired me to, instead of going out with my group of friends, the 6 or 8 of us are going to be finding a local animal shelter and seeing how we can volunteer our time and go spend, you know, half of a day volunteering somewhere. And that just made me feel awesome because, you know, maybe she would have done that anyway at some point in her life. But by listening to the guests who share their stories of generosity, it made her want to go out in the community and be generous. And so those messages are, I guess, the validation for me. But our family alone has been like being so much more generous. And so that makes, you know, us feel selfishly good in the sense of why we're doing the show. Because every time I talk to somebody and I hear about all the wonderful things they do, I just can't help but look in the mirror and think, okay, Kim, you know, you gotta get out there and do something. And so it's great because it encourages and inspires me to want to go and give back. And lately for the month of October, don't ask me why or where I came up with this idea, but I started last month. I wanted to kind of do the pay it forward idea of where you do something generous for someone and you just ask them to pay it forward. So instead of just doing it and just asking someone to do that, I created these little business cards that just say live to give. And so it says, I wish I had one in front of me to read it to you, but something along the lines of someone wanted to be generous to you. Please feel free to do an act of generosity for someone else and spread the movement or something along those lines. And there's a little section on the back where you can actually write a handwritten message if you so choose. And, you know, that's just something where if you're in a Starbucks, you could buy someone coffee behind you and pass on a live to give card. And so I thought, well, I can't really be a hypocrite about this, right? If I'm going to be encouraging people to pass out these cards, then I ought to be, you know, making a point to go do do these things? And how are people going to know if I don't video it? So in October, I'm doing my best to actually document through video 10 acts of generosity and then handing on the Live to Give cards to people. And not to like, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm Kim Trumbo. Oh, I'm such a great person. But more to just show them, hey, if I can do this, you could do this. I mean, it's not something that has to cost a ton of money. It's not something that has to take up a week of your time. It's just an act of generosity. It means a lot to another person with the hope that I'm handing them Live to Give card and that they pass that, you know, act on. Like, generosity can be so addicting and fun.
So you cut off and donated your hair.
Yes, that's a new thing. Chopped off all my hair. I look like a 12-year-old boy.
So if you just decided to do this last month, was your hair long enough to be donated?
So one of my friends at work about a year ago in November, I think it was, had really long hair and she cut it off and donated it. And I said, you know what, Michelle? You inspired me. I think I'm going to grow my hair out. I don't know how long it'll take, because at that point, I think my hair was above my shoulder or around there. And I said, when it's long enough to donate, I'm going to cut it. And so, yeah, no, I've been growing it like a good year or so, and not, you know, going and getting it trimmed and layered and thinned, because my hair is very thick. And so it was definitely a weight, not off my shoulders, off my head. To get it cut, but I've never cut it that short. But once it was cut to the base of that ponytail, I was like, why not? Let's do something fun and funky and something I've never tried before. So I chopped it all the way off.
Well, I think it looks really good on you. I was excited to see your video of buying someone else's coffee at Starbucks, because I'd always heard about doing that or something like that, and I couldn't quite figure out the logistics of, do you buy it for someone in line behind you? Isn't that kind of awkward? And how's that all happen? So it was great to see you how you handled it from start to finish.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of this sneaky, you know, covert operation. It almost feels like, where you're just, you know, somebody pulls behind you and you're like, okay, they're gonna be my, you know, person that I buy a coffee for. Or in that case, I think she probably got a pastry or something too. It's a neat way that the lady has no idea. Like, when she goes up there and she gives them her debit card or her cash, and then the barista says, oh, the person in front of you paid, you know. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of that, but it's like a really cool feeling of, oh, right on. Okay, thanks. Great. That was nice of them. You know, I don't know what people do with the cards, if they're actually going to pay it forward or not. My hope is that they do. What I think would be really neat, and what the card actually says, is if they go to generositiephilosophy.com/live to give, I created a page where people can comment, and through a comment thread, see where the cards have ended up, and asking people to write, hey, my name's Sally. I live in, you know, New York, and I received one of these Live to Give cards, just to see like different parts of the world, maybe where they could end up and what kinds of acts of generosity people did, and both on the receiving end and the giving end. A couple of people have written, you know, what they've done, but I'm hoping that ball will get rolling a little bit more as those YouTube videos come out. And people who've asked me to mail them Live to Give cards, I have, and now I'm just waiting for them to do something with them. And even if they do something and then they don't write anything, that's okay. I don't need them to go write something, but I think it's neat for people to go look and see who around the world has done something. I hesitate videotaping some things sometimes, or even talking about it, because when you give, the whole idea is you're giving without any expectation to receive something back. And you're giving because that person truly needs something, and it makes you feel good to give. You're generally not giving to say, hey, look at me, everyone. I'm so generous and I think I'm a great person. So there's this humble, you know, people are humble about their generosity. And so I think they hesitate to go and participate in that type of thing, you know, writing their name and where they live and what they gave. But I'm hoping even those who receive will go and say, hey, I received this card and it was really great. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet in terms of my generosity. But because if we don't see other people giving back and doing things, then I guess you're just not sure what you can do. And that was part of the whole thing with starting Generosity Philosophy, is my family, we'd sit around the dinner table And sure, we'd give money to this little guy in Guatemala that actually we're going to go meet in a few weeks. And we would, you know, I don't know, be generous in certain ways with like close friends and family. But we always thought, you know, we could do more. It's not like every single weekend we're super busy. We should go volunteer places, but we just weren't sure ever where we would go volunteer or, you know, who we would talk to. And so when I had that day of mowing the lawn and that aha moment, I was like, that solves that problem for us too, because we're always curious to know like how we can give back. And there's probably other families out there in the world who think the same thing. They feel very blessed, very fortunate. They have the time. They just don't know where they're going to spend it, it meaning their time or their money, to give to another, you know, person or place or organization. So if I highlight those for them and show them, here's this great organization or here's this wonderful thing, then it brings it to the forefront.
What do you suggest for people on ways that they can find how to be more generous?
Well, it's a huge plug for my website, but I would just say, if you have no idea where to get started and you were like where I was a year ago, of where you know there's a lot of people doing good things out there and you'd love to volunteer or help out, but you don't know where to go, and you could start by checking out generositophilosophy.com, because through my 61 episodes now, there's quite a plethora of different kinds of people that I've interviewed. But also, Bentley, what I've used is the wonderful thing called a hashtag. And so for people who have Twitter or Instagram, if you were to type in the hashtag make a difference or hashtag be the good you want to see in the world, well, that's kind of a long one. Maybe hashtag give back. There's all kinds of different hashtag compassion, hashtag love one another. You'll find accounts associated with those that may be organizations or people that resonate with you. We all have different things that pulls at our heartstrings. You know, if you're a huge animal lover, then there are certain episodes that are on Generosity Philosophy that you would love to learn more about. The one that comes to mind is the Gentle Barn. Ellie Locks is the founder of that and has been recognized quite well because of the Ellen Show. And I was really thrilled and excited to talk to Ellie and learn more about the animals there. In terms of like different interests that people have, maybe it's elderly folks and you want to learn more about how you can give back in your own community. I would say just go to Google and type in helping senior citizens and type in the name of your city and see what pops up, because unfortunately, it's not always right out there in our faces of how we can help out. But I'm sure if you were to Google it in your area, you could find something. For sure. I think there's a website, Bentley, if I'm getting it right off the top of my head, called volunteermatch.org. But you're able to put in, I mean, it was brilliant, whoever came up with that idea. You're able to put in your interests and where you live, and it'll populate for you, you know, the different organizations and ways that you could help out.
That's an excellent suggestion. I'll put that in the show notes. So, Kim, we like supporting the guests that come on the show. What are two ways that we could help you or Generosity Philosophy?
What are two ways you could help support Generosity Philosophy? What a great question. I would say the simple act of sharing anything about the guests that I feature on the show. If you were to see that come across on Facebook or Twitter, and you were willing to, of course, on Twitter, retweet it, or on Facebook, share it. Because even if a person cannot, or they don't feel that they can financially or with their time, help that organization or that person that I've highlighted on that week's show, if they just do the simple act of sharing it and letting others know about it, then that exponential, you know, word of mouth about it may help out. And so I've always encouraged people, if you can't do anything, but you were really inspired by this guest or this great cause, please just share it on social media. So that would be probably the number one thing that comes to mind. And the other is just to sit back and evaluate your life. And there's that whole saying of, You can live every day as if it's the first day of your life, but also as if it's the last, because you truly, you don't know what might happen. Knowing that if you knew tomorrow that you were going to pass away, I'm pretty sure there's a lot more acts of kindness and generosity that you would execute today. And not that you can do that wholeheartedly every single day. I am a realistic person here, but to do whatever you can and give back in whatever ways. And that doesn't have to even be in your community. That could be within your own family, of doing something outside of the box that you wouldn't normally for your kids or your spouse or your partner or whomever, that is extra generous and that would really make their day. Those would be the two things, is evaluate your life and be as generous as you can. And when you see content from Generosity Philosophy, if you can give back in the sense of sharing, that would be really appreciated.
And how can we get in touch with you?
Well, actually, my hub is just generositophilosophy.com, Bentley. There on the bottom, as you scroll down through the most recent episodes, there's an orange bar that says, please contact me or reach out to me if you'd like to be on the show. But there's also an About Me tab at the top. And through that, there's my email and ways that they can get in touch with me on social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all of those fun places. And I always say that you're innocent until proven creepy. So if you ask me to be your friend, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't accept it.
Well, Kim, thank you for all that you do with the Generosity Philosophy podcast and setting an excellent example for us. And thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it with us.
Well, thank you so much, Bentley. I really appreciate being on your show. And I know you want to stick it out and continuing to give awesome content, but maybe on those weeks when you don't have a show, I'd love for them, if they want to be inspired by the guests I interview, to listen to Generosity Philosophy. And I appreciate you reaching out to me and opening that up for your audience. That's a wonderful thing. So thank you.
And thank you so much for listening. Get the links and notes for today's show at compassionplans.com/19. Never miss an episode by entering your email into our subscription list while you're there. If you appreciate what we're doing, go to compassionplans.com/appreciate to find out how you can spread compassion, like rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for caring.
Let's all give a little more and stand up tall. Tall like a tree with roots firm in the ground, generosity is a lifeline. Oh, of course I'm going to butcher the last part.